It's all about performance. Consistent. Reliable. Delivering results. With a focus on well-being. To keep you ahead and on top of your game. And at the heart of it all, there has to be trust. Performance. Well-being. Trust. The values key to the success of Hoover, principal club sponsor of Warrington Wolves. Values also embraced by The Wire, which is why, together, we make the perfect team. Hoover and Warrington Wolves. Packs more performance. Discover more at hoover.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to the second edition of the Through the Wire podcast. My name is Liam Brown and we've got a great interview for you today. The idea behind this podcast is very simple. It's a rugby league podcast that isn't about rugby league. It's about people and who those people really are when they take off the primrose and blue jersey. Joining me on this episode is a long-standing fixture at the club, joining in 2014. His new contract, signed earlier in the summer, will keep him at the club until at least 2025. The centre has played well over 100 times for The Wire, and our interview today touches on how he keeps himself grounded, his transition to being one of the most senior players in the side, and some personal stuff too, how he spends his spare time, social media, and his thoughts on environmental issues. Let's take it away and meet Toby King. So here we go, episode 2 of the Through the Wire podcast. I'm sat here with Warrington Wolves centre, Toby King. Toby, first up, congratulations on your newish contract. Four more years, you'll have a Warrington accent by the time you've done.
Yeah, buzzing to finally got the 4 years done, and I'm excited for this. It's my first ever podcast, so being called down and thought, let's get it done.
It's been a tough season with all the stops and starts. Is it hard to deal with a game being cancelled? It's quite hard for fans to sort of... You know, you wake up on game day, like really pumped up for the game, and then the game gets cancelled. It must be 10 times as hard for a player.
Do you know what? Being asked this a lot by like members of the public and stuff, but compared to what we go through and the fans who have bought the tickets, they told the kids, get ready, you're going to a game this week. I would say it's nothing like what they go through, and you know they've looked forward to it, they've worked a hard week. For them to get a game cancelled on them, I feel more sorry for the fans. For us, to be honest, sometimes you can be a bit, oh, we've had 3 games this in the past 10 days. Yeah. You'll look after it, get a week off this week, and then you're ready to go. You're fully fit for the week after. So, do you know, sometimes rugby league, it's a lovely game, but at the same time, it's a brutal game. So you know, when we go to war on a weekend, like I say, you can your body can be really hurting. So you know, when that game comes and take advantage of it. And you know, you rest and you're ready to go for the next one.
Yeah, it's a good point actually, because this season it's not been mentioned much about player welfare, but there's been a lot of times when you've had to play Thursday, Monday.
Yeah, it's brutal, and you know, and I think we are a product of like not ever buying into a proper players association, because these games that come thick and fast, 3 games a week, it's you know, it takes its toll on your body. And you know, some teams have had to play like 5 more games in us, so you know, we're probably in a good position to that. We've had managed to get through a few games that cancelled, but you know, for example, Wakey away, I remember getting knocked out in the first tackle. That obviously you should you know, tell this to your physio on that, but you know, you're playing and you've got a game 4 days later, and when we got told the game was off, they've cancelled on us. You know, sometimes you take it as, oh, a match there, it's not too bad, it's not the end of the world, that you know, you can rest and be ready to go for next week. So to answer that question, it's more for the fans. Well, that it's disappointing, especially that Catalan. I don't know if you remember that when they cancelled on the day. Must have been very frustrating.
yeah, to get the call at midday that the game wasn't going ahead that evening. It was the club did some fantastic work actually that day. You know, a lot of the guys on the catering staff and Claire Gamble, we managed to donate a lot of the food to sort of needy people and community clubs around the town. So there was some good came out of that. It was fantastic. Yeah. So you're right there. Players are machines, and people have to realise that there is a toll that every game takes on your body over a long season, as well as a mental aspect of it as well. Yeah. How do you like to relax if you get a day off? What's a perfect day off for you?
Perfect day off. Yeah, just the little things sometimes. Like I love going on my walks with the boys and the dogs. I take the dogs out. But what I'm into at the minute, I'm really enjoying doing my stocks and shares. That's a big thing that I enjoy doing. So you know, on my days off, I'll be researching companies.
Wow.
Yeah, I like to.
The Wolf of Wall Street. Wolf of Warrington.
The Wolf of Warrington. There's a few of us. There's quite a lot of people with the Wolf of Warrington. So you're all competing to who's going to make the most money. But, you know, I just enjoy doing, even if I don't put money into the company, I'll research that company and I'll enjoy that. And I think that's been beneficial for, you know, my career into rugby as well. I like to use, you know, the due diligence I do into stocks. Like sometimes I do it into my career. It's a short career. So, you know, cool.
How does that work in your career?
So, like, for example, like you mentioned, the four-year deal, you know, I'll do my due diligence into that. I know this probably might sound a bit weird, you know, Fitzy and everyone hearing it, but like I don't think rugby players, you know, respect themselves enough, like, to the fact that, you know, you have only got a 15-year career. You need to make as much money for yourself as possible and, you know, to be in the right environment. You know, so for example, when I say I use my research into stocks, I would research, and when I did it go into contract, yeah, I'll research every single centre that's in contract and how long they're in contract for. So supply and demand. Basically, you know, if there's not many supply of centres, if they're all tied up, you know, for 2-3 years, then the demand's high. And luckily, I was in a privileged position.
So the price goes up.
The price goes up. But, you know, obviously, at the same time, you want to be happy where you're at. But, you know, I think it's really important that, you know, players understand. You know, if for example, there was a lot of centres out of contract, mm-hmm. you know, I wouldn't be in such a privileged position. But, yeah. You know, so I like to do stocks and shares, but take it into rugby.
Fantastic. It's an interesting concept. Like, I think you could apply it not just to contracts, but other areas of your career as well. I mean, I think one of the bugbears I have a little bit with rugby league players is they'll promote anything on the social media just for a free T-shirt you know, a free haircut or something like that. And I think sometimes the players don't grasp the sort of commercial power that they have, and they can maybe make a little bit more of that.
I think you make a great point there. Yeah, I honestly do. I think sometimes it's not such as embarrassing ourselves, but, you know, like you say, I won't name the company, but your company can give out a hoodie, and all of a sudden you've got every single rugby league player all promoting that hoodie on the story, and, you know, we're all doing it because we've got a free hoodie, buzzing. It's a £5 cotton jumper.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just think that's sometimes where we're at. Like, would, obviously can't compare to footballers, but like other sports, would they go on, and if everybody was messaging them for a jumper to put on, you know, they just wouldn't do it, would they?
No, exactly. There's it's brand associations as well, isn't it? And yeah. You know, you've got to think about who you're associating yourselves with, and that's not just players, it's also the club. You know, we're very proud to have a big brand like Hoover on the front of our shirts.
It's a worldwide sponsor, isn't it? Like,
absolutely.
Very good.
So how else do you like to relax? I'm asking you this one because I want to get this this video that I saw on your Instagram. You was paddleboarding in the rain in some pink Speedos with the dog at the end of the paddleboard as well.
I take my dogs. He's a lucky dog. I tell him this all the time, but he's been to several national parks in England. He's done the Lake District. He's done the Yorkshire Moors.
He's more well-travelled than me this year.
Yeah, so yeah, he's a very lucky dog. So I thought to him, what can I do to make him enjoy his walks? So I've got a paddleboard and I'm teaching him to get on the front of it. And he's mastered it now. He's very well. So every time I get pump it up, he's ready to go. He's running around. Then we get it on and then he's straight on the paddleboard. And now I'm just, you know, just going through the Lake District on the paddleboard with him on front. So yeah. I'm really, really enjoying doing that.
Imagine being somebody sat on the riverbank watching
watching Carlos go around the lakes.
Do you enjoy the slow pace of life? Has the sort of lockdown helped you sort of change your mindset a little bit around that?
Yeah, I think definitely. Like, I think lockdown is. I'm in a lucky position. I've not lost anyone through lockdown. Mm. I don't know about yourself. No.
I've been pretty lucky.
Yeah.
As well.
So obviously, for the as a selfish point of view, like. I think I've moved away from home very young, not youngish, but like about 3 years ago, and I got an opportunity to move back with my family with lockdown and spend it in their bubble. And you know, I'd never seen my mates. Like, I used to see them every day, obviously, at school. So I just really enjoy doing that. The little things, like you know, just going on a walk with them. I used to get up at 7 a.m. going bike rides with my dad, and I was just loving and enjoying doing that. Getting away from rugby for a while, so I feel like it's made me really enjoy like the little things in life.
Yeah, definitely. It's more of a mental break than a physical break, isn't it?
Definitely. I remember just being sat there locked down. We were getting announcements all the time. Rugby league's been delayed and rugby league's been delayed. And, you know, you're thinking, I'm gutted. I'm missing the sport. But at the same time, I've got a pack of beers in the fridge. I got them out and I walked up to my mate's house and we sat in the garden and we just had a few beers, watched the sunset, and you just, you know, you forget you enjoy them little moments.
Yeah, I think it's it's the enforced stop, isn't it? I think a lot of people that perhaps would have spent the Saturday afternoon maybe going out shopping or going out for an expensive meal, they discover the joys of going for a walk.
Yeah, they discover the joys of cooking their own meals and saving £30 on a meal out. You make it at home with your family.
So a question I've got is, you obviously, we touched on social media a little bit there, but you are in the public eye, and I think it's fair to say, especially in Warrington, you're a little bit of a celebrity, but with that comes, you know, you've got to put up with criticism. Is that something you can handle well, or is it something that you can struggle with sometimes?
Social media, the devil. No, I do think social media, it's a powerful thing. I think it's a lot different how you cope with it when you're younger compared to now. I feel like I've matured, and now I've turned 25. I feel a lot more maturing myself about how I'd handle things. I know when I was younger, obviously I had a few incidents, but I feel like if you are happy to read the good things about you and you're replying to them and you're saying, oh, thanks for that after a good game, you have to be able to read the bad things, and you just have to accept that. But as a younger self, I'll take us back to a time where I was going through like a bad time with injury, and yeah, the mayor of Warrington at the time was calling me out and my brother for a few bad performances. And then it does make you doubt yourself, that the old mayor of Warrington, I don't know if he got sacked or if he resigned.
Well, he said he wished his parents had never met, which as far as insults go, it's one of the worst ones you can give somebody, isn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't nice at the time. And I think it doesn't bother me. I'm quite thick-skinned, but it was more bothering me the fact that it upset my parents and my family, because they all saw it. So it was an upsetting time, but you have to be able to deal with.
And it wasn't just a sort of random person off the internet, even.
Nah, yeah, exactly.
Like you had a position,
it was the mayor. It was, like I say, it was the mayor of the Warrington at the time. So, you know, I'm happy to take the criticism if you're going to take the good stuff. But like when it was targeted at sort of my parents, I think that's what upset them. Mm-hmm. But I think social media in general, like on a wider issue, there's like, you can have massive problems with that. I know like it's a bit off topic, but you know, you see people put stories up when they're going out, and they go out for a coffee now, and it's like the social trend now is just to put a picture up of you going out for a coffee.
Yeah.
And it's gone in the day where you go out for a coffee just to see your mate.
It's not being in the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not being in the moment. And you know, what are people really like behind the screen? And you know, the people who criticize players and stuff. And I watched it last night when England played Hungary and stuff, and like the racial abuse you see. It's just not it's not nice, is it? And it's it's not what you want to see.
Yeah, I think there's two sides to it as well, isn't it? I think it's people trying to make themselves look really important, and other people see that. You know, you see pictures of girls and they've got everything done, all the cosmetic surgery and things like that, and other girls look at it and think, well, I'll never look like that, and they feel bad. But it affects lads as well, doesn't it?
Like it spirals into this mental health and stuff, and people think they want that lifestyle. You know, that is that the normal, where they keep themselves in makeup and they have all this plastic surgery done, the lips are all sticking out, and then what sort of message are we sending to 14-year-old, 13-year-old girls that are on Instagram, and then they're sort of looking up to that. Like you say, it stems like we have a laugh with the boys and stuff at training. I get into Matty Davis, Aribe, all the young sort of lads, Josh Fulis, and is that them wanting to wear that, or is that them wanting to other people to see them wearing that? You know, can people afford to wear that Balenciaga, or are they buying that to look like they can afford it?
Yeah.
And what's the real reason that people want that?
It's interesting that as well. I think from a lad's point of view, it could be just the same. So you're looking at a top NRL player and their social media and their posting, they're driving around in the Range Rover, and our young lads want to emulate that.
Yeah,
you know, and it becomes very similar. You get depressed because you've not got it, or you skint yourself to go and get it.
Definitely, and like I would love to be giving advice to these young people, especially ones coming up at the club, like. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of companies out there that will get into your DMs and they'll tell you that leasing a car is a good idea, financing a car is a good idea. You can get a Range Rover £500 a month, brilliant. But you know, they don't understand the repercussions of it. You've got a balloon payment at the end of £8,000. You're paying all this interest on it for 4 years. So you know, in the reality, it's costing you £40,000. But you know, someone can sell it to you at £500 a month.
Yeah,
they don't understand what that's costing them. But you know, so I try getting to them at training all the time. I turn up to Costa in my new car. It's a 2011 plate, so it's 10 year old. I'm promise you I'm not that stingy, but it's a 10-year-old car and it gets me from A to B just as good as that lease car. And they all laugh at me and then I think
but you own it, it's an asset that's not depreciation.
I'm not paying 19.9% APR that all these leasing companies are charging. So I'll try my best to advise them in that way.
Do you find that having a strong grounding with your family, it gives you a great basis for dealing with criticism like that, and that because you know you've got them behind you, it doesn't really matter what outside people say?
Yeah, 100%. And like I say, I'm so grateful to have that family background, and I know many people aren't. And you know, for me to have my mum and dad as my biggest supporters, you know, it's something that I don't take for granted. I've also got my brother, obviously, who I used to play with for 5-6 years, and you know, any sort of criticism I'd get, you know, we'd be able to bounce it back off each other, you know. And sometimes people don't have that. Like your people coming from, I know you said Jake was on the podcast last week. It must be hard sometimes for, you know, someone who's come and travelled all the way across the world who don't have that, you know, family or the friends that they make, that they can just, you know, share their thoughts with and stuff.
So you just mentioned your brothers there. I'm always fascinated by that when brothers get into a sport together. Is it good genes, or is it the environment you were brought up in that's made you both successful?
I'd probably say, I reckon it's probably 10% genes and 90% how hard you want it and how hard you're going to work for it. Because I how many times you'll see, I've seen it firsthand, the biggest guy at 16 doesn't make it at 18.
Because he's not used to being banged into, is he?
Yeah, and he's not. He's had it all given to him from 10-year-old to 16-year-old. He's been the best player and he's not come through that adversity. So I do think a lot of it is how hard you want to work. And you know, and again, at the same time, having a good family behind you, you know, it helps and stuff. I remember, my dad did all the physical work. Like, he'd take me to training, he'd coach me, but my mum would always make sure there's food on the table. She still does it now. Anytime I go home, it's fruits in my face. Like, I'm just, she's good to me like that. But yeah, any sort of adversity, really, I think, sets you up in good stead.
Did your dad play?
He didn't, but he did play at amateur, but not at a professional level. But he coached me right from 10 to about 16 until obviously joined at Warrington, coached me and George. Wow. So yeah, it was nice for him to coach us both.
Fantastic. And does the mindset you learned sort of in that environment in home, does that help you dealing with setbacks? Like you had all your injury trouble, you mentioned that before, and you know, that was quite a ride you went through.
Yeah, I think maybe it was like 2017 now, but yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot to take. I was going through a really tough time. It was around the time the World Cup was happening in Australia. And I just had surgery on my hamstring. It went for the third time. So, you know, it was surgery time. And then I'd been told at the time, this has to go right, this surgery. You've got very limited chances now. You can't mess around with it. And then I'd come back from that. I remember playing Rochdale away in pre-season. Sandy pitch, horrible winter's day. And then I'd just done my hamstring again. It was Price's first game with us all. I remember just bursting into tears and in the sheds, and you know, Price put his arm around me saying, "We're going to get you back." And I just ended up walking out the stadium at that time. My brother and my dad was there, so I was in the car with them. And I remember just bursting into tears, thinking, you know, my career's done. It was just all over. And you know, probably coming from that was at rock bottom to the highs. At the end of it all, I know I came back from that. Luckily, it wasn't too bad of a hamstring tear, but then I did it again. So it was the fifth time. So yeah, and then that was at Salford in a Super League match. And I just remember thinking, like, whoa, what's the point? Like, I'm not maybe built out to play rugby league. Like, the fifth hamstring injury, all in the same hammy. But luckily, Nick Murphy, the physio, like, great guy, he sat me down and we just sat there and we were saying, like, what can we do? Is there anything we can do? We'd been to London and we just got a, like, I got my little notepad and we just wrote down a load of things that we're going to tick off.
Yeah.
And try get through, and we'll give it absolutely everything we can. Yeah. And hopefully get you back. Like, it was the point where I was changing my car because maybe driving a manual, you know, wasn't good on the motorway. Yeah. I was travelling from Huddersfield to Warrington. Maybe that wasn't good. The insoles in my shoes, I've changed all that, and then touch wood, everything's been up since there. And obviously, like, winning the Challenger Cup and stuff just brought back good memories about like going through the tough stuff at a young age, and hopefully overcoming them.
Fantastic. I like the sort of writing things down and going through it step by step. It's the it's the old adage, trust the process, isn't it? And just not concentrate on what's happening at the end, but just do everything right day by day.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, I think everyone will come through their own adversity at some point in the career, and it's just how you deal with it. You sink or swim.
Yeah. Does that you know, what would you like to do when you finish playing? My conversation with Jake made me think really hard about the situation that players face. You know, by your mid-30s, you're not going to be allowed to do your job anymore. Is that something that's always in the back of your mind a little bit?
Yeah, so this shit scares me, to be honest. Like, rugby league, it's, you know, it's the best thing. You know, growing up, you're playing in front of your crowd. You love playing in front of Warrington, but it's a short career and it's not enough money to set you up for after rugby. Yeah. You know, so I've probably not been the best advocate, you know, for studying. Like, I did my A-levels, but I've not done anything since that. You know, I'm 25 now. Like I say, rugby league, the positives of rugby league, you get a lot of time off. Like, on the days off, you get, you know, that should be your days off. Yeah. So, you know, hopefully the studying on the stock market, maybe one day, if I'm researching to the right company, maybe it's all or nothing.
So would you like to do that, some sort of financial trading
job?
Yeah,
financial, I'd love all that sort of stuff. And I like investing in property. So yeah, I've got a few properties that I invest in. Do that with my brother. So yeah, hopefully that will sort of put me in good stead for when I retire. But I know, like you say, rugby league, it's a short career, and you know, and you don't see many people, you know, surviving after rugby league and not having to work again. It's not like the glamorous football.
And you know, you probably, it's not desirable to never have to work again as well. You know, your mid-30s to your mid-70s is a long time, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. You probably don't not want to work again, to be fair. Like, I'm looking forward to that stage where I was speaking to Breezy the other day, our assistant coach, and he's coached me right from 17, and you know, I love Breezy. He's been class for me in my development. And I remember he went straight into coaching after rugby, and he's not been on a summer holiday in 25 years. I just think, come on, mate, how can you not?
Yeah.
I, that's why I don't think I can see myself going into the rugby league path after. You know, I want to enjoy that sort of stuff, the going on the summer holiday. I look forward to when you book 2 weeks off and you know you can go somewhere.
Yeah. So I think because it's a lot of people's dream to be a professional rugby player, and you kind of go through your life with rose-tinted glasses on what it must be like, and they don't really appreciate the sort of harder aspects of it. You know, you mentioned about getting smashed into and your body taking ages to recover, and the worry about injuries and how that's going to affect you through your life, and the anxiety about what you've got to do after your short career is over.
Yeah,
it's not as easy as people think.
No, definitely not. It's not there. Don't get me wrong, I'm grateful for it. Definitely, there's some really good highs and there's some really good things. But, you know, I'm sat here now talking to you and my body's killing me. I've just played against Saints on Monday night and it was an absolute brutal game. And then we back it up against Wigan, all in short turnarounds. You know, so as much as it's the glamorous lifestyle, it does take its toll on you. And like you say, there's a lot of people who've had head knocks and they've struggled after life after rugby, and it's, you know, it can worry a lot of players. I know I spoke to a lot of players and it worries them, what are we doing the right thing, bashing our heads on a short turnaround. Like, you know, we this, like I say, right from the back of the beginning, this is from not probably buying into. I remember John Wilkins set up a players association right at the beginning, and no one bought into it. And I think that's just sometimes where rugby league players let themselves down.
Yeah.
You know, for £15 a month, we could have all bought into John Wilkin, who, you know, he's a very intelligent guy, speaks really well.
Yeah.
And maybe he'd have put these things in place for us. You know, so maybe, again, that's players letting themselves down.
Yeah, I mean, it's player welfare aspects, it's player promotion aspects. I think the Players Association in the NFL does a lot of good work for the NFL players. They negotiate contracts centrally and things like that.
Yeah, exactly. And we've got none of that. We're probably pieces of meat, you know. We get told things. We found things out on social media just like the same as any fans and where players. Like, I remember last year, I think we was third in the table or something. And then we'd finished training, looked on the schedule. It's just something little. And I remember all of a sudden we was fourth because they just changed it to an average point system. You know, and you just think, oh, wow, thanks for telling us. Didn't even know that. But,
yeah,
you know, we'll just keep running that ball in. And that's pretty much it. It's sad at the same time, but is that our own fault for not buying into rugby league players' associations where they sort of, we have our own voices? And I know, obviously, NRL have got themselves a really good one out there.
You're talking with a lot of maturity here now. I think it's kind of symptomatic of the fact you've become one of the more senior players in the team. Do you see yourself as a mentor for some of the younger players, and you can give them some of the ideas and maybe not have to make, I wouldn't say mistakes you've made, but you can lead them onto the right path?
Yeah, I try to help all the young sort of people. My sort of advice to the young sort of people coming up into the team will not be more rugby related. I'll try and give them the advice off the field. Mm. I feel like I've made my own mistakes, and you know, hopefully I can give them, you know, some advice that'll help them guide through their career. For example, like, I will tell them about these car companies that will come and tell them it's really good to spend £400 a month on a lease car. You can look the best, you can drive into training, but if you're living at home, you know, at your mum's house, what is it really to show? You're just putting on Instagram, you know, so other people can think you're living this life, but really, never get broke trying to act rich. It's my famous saying from all.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't be broke trying to act rich.
I think you mentioned before we went on air that you don't spend a lot of money on clothes, and that rich people don't spend a lot of money on clothes really either. Yeah. You know, generally.
Yeah, well, I think that's what their sort of target audience. So you have Balenciaga, Givenchy. You know, everyone's in Alexander McQueen's at the minute, aren't they? You know, their target audience, I think, is for people who sort of want to act like they can afford it, you know. So they target sort of the people who have not got the money to afford it, but they will buy it. But you know, at the same time,
you don't see our directors walking around in Balenciaga, do you?
Yeah, you don't. You're like Simon Moran, absolute legend of a guy. He'll be. I'm not knocking your dress sense, Simon, by the way, but he'll have his jeans and maybe his ASOS top on.
Yeah.
Steve Jobs, you never see him in Balenciaga hoodie.
Yeah, exactly. Black polo top. Mm. So you are really grounded. Do you self-consciously try to be that way, to not inflate your ego and not get too big for your boots, and remember where you came from and where you are and what you're doing?
I think I try to be grounded, but at the same time, it's obviously good to have you have to be a bit cocky about yourself, but I'm not ever. But I think that's more installed in from me, you know, the young age from my mum. I know she's probably been my biggest inspirer. Like, she's done it tough. She was brought up, you know, in sort of care homes, in a tough way, and then seeing how she's gone from that, you know, to living in a country house, in a 5-bed detached house, raising two rugby league players and a solicitor down in London, you know, so she's probably doesn't realise how proud I am of her to see her now where she's come from. And then I think that's sort of installed into me. Like, Mum was always telling me, you pay as much respect to the cleaner as you would do to the owner of the club, Simon. Like, that's just what I do. Like, the kit man, I would.
Saw that today when you arrived and you was talking to the receptionist and talking to all the guys in the office.
Glad you've seen it. Tell Mum that, because she'll
turn around and grab Debbie Blackburn on the stairs and say all this stuff. So.
Well, exactly. And I think that's just a good way to be. I'm really glad that my mum has brought that into me. You know, you pay your respect to the cleaner as much as you do the owner of the business, and that's the values I'm sort of brought up on.
To add to that, the rumour is you go out with your high school sweetheart.
Oh yeah. High school, college sweetheart. She didn't want me at first. So we're in a year anniversary now, so it took me 7 years to get her back. So 7 years of grafting, and now I'm back with my high school sweetheart.
Was that a social media thing?
That's the positive things, isn't it? About social media, you've
been slagging it off. You got your missus back.
Yeah, now it's got me my missus. So, you know, obviously the good things of social media is you can slide into some girls' DMs when you're out and about, and then obviously just meeting her again. Yeah, it's been really good. So she does a lot. She helps me with my dog. So.
I've seen you both on Instagram quite a bit. You like your countryside and your camping and things like that.
The little things in life, the wild camping, countryside, and my dog, my best mate.
Is there anything that worries you about the future? I know you looked at the water bottle I gave you and said, "Oh, I don't like these."
Take a sip from my water bottle now. Probably the biggest worry for me and my biggest fear is, I'm not a massive advocate on it, but I really do fear for climate change and how where we're going as a world and as a country. It's just the little stuff like you say. You know, you give me this water bottle, and I think, why have I left my reusable water bottle at home? And that's going to happen sometimes, you know. Like, I will buy a bottle of water if I have to, if you need one. But, you know, just to try and do everything you can to try and help where we are at the minute, because we're in a state, and, you know, it's not nice. And, you know, for example, I moved closer to training and I walk to training now.
Well.
I really, really enjoy doing that. And I just think if everybody can do their little bit to help the world, I think we'll be in a much better place.
Yeah. Is that something that you talk to other lads in the team about and try and sort of spread the knowledge around?
Yeah, I do, honestly. And I get laughed at and I get a lot of stick, but, you know, I love taking the banter and I'm happy to do that. But, you know, they all see me in my reusable water bottle. I might buy more one and hopefully they all use it. We'll have to see.
Put the names on it, like in Love Island.
Yeah, put names on it. It's like a Love Island bottle, that's what they call it. But Robbie Mullen, he's doing a degree in it all, in environmental studies and stuff. So yeah, he's your man for your facts. So if you ever need some education on it, you go to him. But I'm just trying to do my little bit. But like, I'm not like a hardcore. You know, you see the Extinction Rebellion in London. I think that's pathetic when they're all surrounding broccolis and stuff in the middle of the street. But I'm not like that. Yeah, but just thinking
they do,
everyone
they do
give
noble aims, but they do put quite a few people off.
When they stop people from getting to work on a Monday morning, I think that's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, it's not the people getting the trains in the morning that are the problem,
is
it?
Not. If anything, you want people to get in the trains, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Fantastic. So another good question I'd like to ask you is, if you could meet anybody dead or alive, who would it be and what would you ask them?
Ooh, what a question. I would probably say someone weird, maybe like King Henry VIII.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I think that'd be, I'd just love to know why, what he was thinking when he divorced and beheaded all his wives. Like, why did you need six?
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe I'd ask him, like, you know, what's your sort of...
There's the thing about Henry VIII, actually, speaking about head injuries before, he actually fell off his horse.
Oh,
when,
really?
Like, I think he was still on his first wife and nearly died, really banged his head. And they reckon that sort of part of the reason he turned into a psychopath was something to do with that.
We were banging his head
on there. Yeah, so if you execute any of your wives when you're older...
Oh, right. We'll know what the bangs the
end we'll know what happened.
You'll understand if I have six wives now. Just blame on rugby league, banging our heads.
So you touched on this before. Who inspired you most in your life? I know you mentioned your mum there. Is there?
Yeah.
Is it your mum? Is there anybody else that you pick as well?
I think there's others as well. And as a mum, I'll have my mum as, you know, one of them. And then as a sporting role, I think I can't look past anyone other than Rob Burrow.
Right. Wow.
I think he's an absolute legend. The way he's carried himself through that, you know, just my heart goes out to him and all his family. And just seeing how like strong he's been through it all the sort of media stuff he's done. You know, you get goosebumps now, you know, and it's just such a sad time, but the way he's sort of shown himself, you know, it makes you think, oh, if you can ever be like sort of ungrateful for things, the way, you know, the way he's going on and stuff. And
he's got every right to be angry at the world or fed up, and, you know, he's just chosen to make the best of it, hasn't he?
Yeah, definitely. I've ordered his books. I'm looking forward to that delivering. I'm going to give that a read.
Top selling hardback in the UK at the minute. So there's a lot of people going to be finding out about Rob Burrow and his journey.
Oh, well, that's class. He deserves to be, doesn't it? I'd say he's probably inspired me more than, you know, I think it's easy to just to say, oh, you know, an ex-player who plays and stuff, or, you know, but someone who really has done something and changed the way your mindset on things. Like, I actually inspired Rob Burrow, like, from what he's done and the way he's like handled it all. You know, it's pretty inspiring.
And what's the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
Best piece of advice? Probably never get a second chance to make a first impression. Right. I really like that. I've always said that to people. It's like I say again, you know, with the values of just, you know, treating everyone with respect and stuff. You never literally get a second chance. You know, your first impressions last for everything, you know, and people always judge you on your first impression, so probably... the fact that you never get a second chance.
Fantastic advice. And finally, I'm going to ask you this question. I'm going to ask everybody this question. What is the best thing about being a Warrington Wolves player?
Best thing about being a Warrington Wolves player? Two things. I'm going to say the fans is the generic one in it, but the Warrington fans, they're absolutely outstanding. Anytime you're out in the street, they come and chat to you. And one thing I do not like, actually, is when they think you don't like them chatting to you and you're annoying.
Yeah.
Their time, but I absolutely love it. If they ever see me sat on my own, come and sit next to me. Let's have a chat, talk rugby.
Yeah.
See how your day is. You know, I'm just as interested as you are me. You know, I love it. I think I've got Warrington fans looking enough on my street. My neighbours, they look after my dog all the time. They're absolutely brilliant. And you know, the two little kids, they come to the games. I'll get them tickets as much as possible. And I just think it's such a nice group of people. And yeah, I'd love meeting. Love meeting them all. So yeah, I'd say the fans probably the best thing. And the mates. I reckon the mates you meet. I've got friends for life now. That'll probably, you know, I'll stay in touch with for the rest of my life.
It's quite an intense situation, isn't it? You're spending so much time with these people. You're staying in hotels with them. You know, you've seen people at the worst, seen people at the best.
Yeah, definitely. Like I say, and it's just good that you, like, that's the positive thing about rugby league. You know, all the things that you know, the negative things that happens. But you know, at the end of the day, I've got mates for life now, and we'll go for coffees together. The PRC. I know. I bet Jake's touched on the PRC.
He did.
He's the chairman. So you know, if anything ever goes wrong, you go to Jake first. He's the man. You know, like I say, and then you've got Tommy and that, and Davis, Philbs, and then the new recruit Robbie Mull. You know, we've got our little positive reinforcement crew, which has been brilliant, and I think that's something we'll try and do when obviously they split off. But don't be sad because it's over. Smile because it happened. We've got about 4 or 5 weeks left together now, so you know, so just enjoy it.
So there you go then, an interview with a very mature young man that's got a lot of support around him to keep his feet on the ground. He's growing into his role as a senior player and sees a big part of his job here as advising the younger players, which bodes well not just for the guys themselves but for the club as a whole, and it's good to know that we aren't just producing great players but also great people. Once again, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.